Welcome to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hear, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, help of all Christians, pray for us. Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome. Today we will continue with Volume 23, November 6, 1927. The title of this passage is One Who Lives in the Divine Will Does Not Descend from Her Origin, and to her is due the state of Queen, while one who lives outside of it lives in the state of servant. The difference between what the kingdom of redemption brings to one and to the other. How those who live in the divine will be the first before God. The cross matured the kingdom of redemption. How a divine life runs within each truth. Luisa Picarreta writes, I was following the divine volition, accompanying all the acts which my sweet Jesus had done while being on earth. He made them present to me, and I invested them with my I love you, and asked him with his very acts for the kingdom of the divine fiat. And I pray him to apply to my soul everything he had done in the kingdom of redemption, to give me the grace to live always in his divine volition. Luisa Picarreta is doing basically the rounds. And something that is very interesting and we should learn to do here, as Luisa Picarreta is doing, is asking the Lord with his very acts for the kingdom of the divine fiat. First of all, she goes around in everything that our Lord Jesus did, and she places the I love you. Just to give an example, something we can do is, Jesus, I put my I love you in every single step that you took, in every miracle you perform, in every sermon you preach, and so on. We put our I love you, our correspondence, in all the acts that our Lord Jesus did, even beginning from the incarnation, putting our I love you in every single moment that our Lord Jesus was in the womb of the Blessed Mother, all those 9 months, in every movement of his fingers, as his humanity was growing in the womb of the Blessed Mother, in every step he took in his hidden life, every time he was nourished by the Blessed Mother, and so on. And then Luisa Picarreta is placing Here I love you in everything that our Lord Jesus did. And now she is asking, with those single acts of yours, I'm asking you for the kingdom of the divine will to descend upon earth. We can do the same. We can pray to our Lord Jesus with the voice of every single one of your acts. I ask you to grant me the grace to possess the divine will, your will operating in my soul. And asking him to apply to our souls everything he had done in the kingdom of redemption, meaning everything he did through his humanity, to give us that grace to live in his divine will. So that's something that we can apply to ourselves as we read these passages, to take from these lessons and to learn how Luisa Picaretta is placing her I love you, her correspondence, in everything that our Lord Jesus did, and asking with the voice of those same acts of our Lord Jesus to grant us that grace. Our Lord Jesus now speaks and he says, my daughter, one who lives in my divine will does not descend from her origin. And since everything was created for those who will live in it, all the good of creation are hers. What's the point of origin? The point of origin in which we were created, union with God. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in 374 and 375 talks about this, the original state of grace, of holiness, the original state of justice, the point of origin in which man was created. And this state of holiness, of origin, in which Adam was created, God share everything that he is with the creature. And Adam was supposed to remain in that union in which he was created and just keep growing and growing in the knowledge of who God was. I'm going to read that passage of the Catechism 375. It says the following: Adam and Eve were constituted in an original state of holiness and justice. This grace of original holiness was to share in divine life, God giving himself. This is what God does. He gives himself totally to us. And that gift that Adam possessed allow him to receive everything that God was giving to him, and growing at every moment, being filled with the life of God, with the divine life. So when our Lord Jesus is telling us that one who lives in the divine will does not descend from the point of origin, meaning that once we are in this union with God's will operating in us, then basically we go back to the point of origin, possessing the divine life in us at every moment of our life, as Adam did in the original state of holiness, as the Blessed Mother did by grace, as our Lord Jesus possessed by nature. And we, by participation, we are called to arrive or to go back to the original state of holiness, state of origin, by participation, by uniting ourselves to the will of God. It is a gift in itself, the knowledge to understand this gift, to know about it, and then to possess it. Luisa Picaretta is asking with the acts of our Lord Jesus to grant her that gift. We could do the same thing, my brothers and sisters, asking the Lord Jesus with his own acts, with the voice of his own acts, to give us that grace. With the voice of every single drop of blood that he shed for us. With that voice, with the voice of his blood, to grant us that grace, the grace to possess the gift of his divine will operating in us. The Lord continues and he says, it is due the state of queen, and as queen, it befits her to possess more so, since she is a queen who lives in the royal palace of our will, and therefore it befits her to possess the kingdom, to possess suns, heavens, seas, and that the king himself live life together with her, talking about the soul who lives in union with God's will, the soul who possesses the will of God operating in her. We are all called to receive this gift, my brothers and sisters. We have to know about it. We have to desire it, to love it, to ask the Lord. Now that we learn how Luisa Picaretta asked with the voice of the acts of Jesus, with all the voice of the acts of redemption, asking the Lord to grant us that grace in our souls. So the Lord Jesus is telling, this is why the goods of creation were to be more extensive. Otherwise, how could hers be the state of queen if she did not have dominion and kingdoms to dominate? We know also through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 358, the Catechism tells us that everything was created out of love for us. Creation was done out of love for us. Let me read it to you. God created everything for men, but man in turn was created to serve and love God and to offer all creation back to him. Creation was done for us out of love for us, and God wants to be loved through creation and through his creature. If the creature does not possess the will of God, the Lord says, if she does not have dominion in kingdoms to dominate, on the other hand, by not living in our divine will, the soul descends from her origin. She disnobles herself and places herself in the state of servant. Therefore, no kingdoms or empires befit her. By descending from the state of origin, we lost our place. And now, our Lord Jesus is inviting us, through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, to go back to the point of origin by learning how to enter into this way of living, begging the Lord to grant us the grace to possess his divine will operating in us. Then we will go back to the point of origin. The Lord says, I came in redemption, I came upon earth in order to resurrect man from the state of death, to heal him, to give him all possible remedies, to make him return to the first state of his origin. I think we understand now what's the state of origin, which is union with God, complete union with God, in which Adam was created. We understand that after the fall, we became spiritually death, and we experience also physical death. That's why our Lord Jesus, he says, I came in redemption, I came to resurrect man, to give him all kinds of remedies, all possible remedies, to make him go back to the original state of holiness, to the state of origin. That's why our Lord Jesus had to perform so many miracles, because at the spiritual level, when he is resurrecting Lazarus, when he is bringing life to those who have died already, the little child, when he returns the son to the mother, in the passage of the gospel when they were going to bury a son and the mother was crying, and our Lord Jesus gives her back her son. He brings him back to life. And then at the spiritual level, he is resurrecting us, opening the door for us to be able to be resurrected. And finally, ultimately, is through his resurrection that we are able to go back to the point of origin. So when the Lord is giving sight to the blind at the spiritual level, is allowing us to see again through the powers of the soul, removing the spiritual blindness, and so on. The Lord says then that he comes to bring these remedies so that we go back to the original state of origin, knowing that if he turned into our will from which he came, if he returned to our will from which he came, he will already be prepared to be maintained in the royal state of dominant. Even more, you must know that for those who live or will live in my divine will, the acts which I did in redemption will serve not as remedies, but as happiness, as joy, as the most beautiful ornament in the royal palace of my will. There is another passage from the Book of Heaven that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that for those who will possess the will of God operating in him, then the sacraments, they will go from being remedies to nourishment. We see the sacraments as remedies. They heal us. We've been called some of them sacraments of healing. But our Lord Jesus is saying that when we come to possess, once we arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us, then those remedies will not be remedies anymore. They will become nourishment, and then giving the soul joy and peace and happiness, placing the soul in that royal place, in that royal palace, where our Lord Jesus wants humanity, basically, where he placed humanity, that original state of origin of holiness, which the Catechism talks about in 375. This should be our prayer also, asking the Lord to really grant us that grace. Grant us the grace to possess that gift operating in us. And as Luisa Picaretta again is doing it here, asking for that grace with the very voice of the acts of our Lord Jesus. One way we can do it and practice it is in a simple way. Jesus, with the voice of every miracle, I ask you for your will to operate in me. The Lord continues and he says, in fact, everything I did was nothing but a birth from it, meaning from the divine will. And it is its merciful womb delivered for me onto the lap of my humanity. All the acts I did in coming upon earth, therefore, it is right that as things which belong to it, they serve as ornaments for itself. So in everything I did while being on earth, if I pray, if I spoke, if I suffer, if I bless the children, if I kept tracing my children, the children of my divine will, to give to them the first act, the things which belong to them, the happiness which they contain. And then I gave them as remedy for their salvation to the unfortunate children of sin, servants of the human will. Therefore, all my acts run as first act to those who will live in the supreme volition as to their center of life. And one who lives in it can say, everything is mine, and I say, everything is yours. So here we see that the Lord is telling us that just by descending from that place of origin in which Adam was placed, he became servant. And we participate of the fall as a consequence of that disobedience. We participate because Adam was the depositary of that gift. And the Lord says, now that through these writings, now he's given us the gift. He's teaching us how to enter into that union with God through every single act. And now, not being children or servants of sin anymore, but true children now of the divine will. The Lord continues and he says, as Luisa Picaretta writes, after this, I was thinking to myself, if the divine fiat has its first act in such a way that no one else can say, I am first act of it, how can those who will come later to live in the divine will find themselves as first before God? Our Lord Jesus told Luisa Picaretta that those who will come to live in this way, in the divine will be the first. And Luisa Picaretta, she is questioning, how will this come to be? How will this happen? And the Lord explains, he will explain to us how it will happen. Because in the divine will there is not, in God there is no time, is one single act. And those who will come to live in union with his will, in the possession of his will, operating in us at every moment of our lives, he says they will be the first. This is what our Lord Jesus answers to that question of Luisa Picaretta, how will this come to be? My daughter, those who live or will live in my volition will always be like first act before God. Because my will has one single act. one way in which we can see this one single act of God is the single act of God is to be, to exist. Because my will has one single act, an incessant act, a continuous act, one single act of being that never ends in God. One single act of existing, and in that existence of God, that one single act of God existing, just being, we are all in God. That's why St. Paul is able to say, in God we move, in God we exist, in God we have our being. In Him we exist, and in Him we have our being, and we move in God, because that single God, that single act of God is just to be, to exist. And with that existence of God, everything that is and will ever be. And for those who come to live in the divine will, he says, they are the first ones. We can say one way to understand it is they will be the closest to him, because they will be able to resemble him. He will be able to see himself in them. Mirrors of the Blessed Trinity, which we are called to be. Because my will has one single act, an incessant act, which is starts always from the first act, which is God himself. And by virtue of this single act, an incessant act, it elevates all the acts done in it to its first act, in such a way that all those who will live in my volition will find themselves in its one act. Basically, finding ourselves immersed in the immersed immensity of God, totally united with him. And all as first before the adorable majesty. Therefore, in my will there will be neither before nor after, but all will be fused together in one single act, fused together, immersed in God. Imagine the sea, the immensity of the sea, and imagine a single drop of water. You see the immensity of the sea, and then you put a drop of water, and then you are not able to distinguish that drop of water from the sea anymore. That drop of water becomes the sea, part of the sea. It is one with the sea. So the souls that enter into this way of living, entering in God, in the immensity of God, is being fused in that single act of the existence of God, being one with him. What honor, what glory for the creature to be able to have her place in this single act of the will of her creator, from which, as from a fount, all goods and all possible and imaginable happiness gush forth. We know the will of God is the fount of everything that exists. We all have our origin from the will of God. He wishes, he wills it for us to exist. From all eternity, we existed in the mind of God. And we come into existence in time and space as He determines, but we all come from the same source, from the same fount, which is God's will, is our origin. So He's calling us back to that origin to recognize that we are His children, that we are to be one with Him, not children of sin, not slaves of sin, not servants of the human will, but one with Him. Luisa Picarreta writes, then continue in to follow the acts of my beloved Jesus. I stopped when He received the cross and embracing it with all the tenderness of His love. He placed it in His shoulders to carry it to Calvary. Here we can practice what we have already learned from Luisa Picarreta here. We place her I love you in the act of Jesus taking the cross for each one of us. We place our I love you, our gratitude, our correspondence in the act of taking the cross, of embracing the cross on His shoulders, in the act of carrying the cross to Calvary. And with that single act of carrying the cross, embracing it with the voice of His own acts, particularly and specifically with the act of carrying the cross, asking Him with the voice of His own act of carrying the cross, of embracing the cross, to grant us the grace to possess the divine will operating in our souls for us and for all the human race. The fourth sorrowful mystery is the carrying of the cross. As we read these writings of the servant of God, we should start seeing ways in which we can live out this way of living in the divine will. As we pray the rosary now and we stop in that mystery, the carrying of the cross, asking the Lord, first of all, placing our I love you, our thanksgiving, our act of reparation, and asking the Lord with the action, with that action, with that act, I ask you to grant me the grace to possess your will operating in my soul. Why? So that by possessing your will, I can give you everything. I may correspond for everybody. So Luisa describes this, and then our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, my daughter, the cross matured the kingdom of redemption. It completed and placed itself as the custodian of all the redeemed ones in such a way that if one lets herself be kept by the cross, she receives within herself the effects which a mature fruit contains, which contains taste, sweetness, and vital humor, and makes her feel all the good of redemption. The Lord is telling us that the cross here basically is what matured the kingdom of redemption, is what completed, we can say, the kingdom of redemption. We see on the cross that our Lord exclaims, everything is done, everything is being complete. And the other part is that the Lord says something very important here, that He placed the cross as our custodian. I place itself as the custodian of all the redeemed. We should embrace our cross. We should see the sweetness of the cross, that even beyond, even to look beyond the cross. But when crosses come, to embrace them and unite that suffering, that pain, with the suffering of our Lord Jesus, and asking also our Lord Jesus to grant us the grace to possess that gift of the divine will operating in us through our sufferings. So this is something important that we have to keep in mind, that the Lord has placed the cross as our custodian. He continues and he says, in such a way that she matures together with the fruit of the cross and disposes herself to return into the kingdom of my will. Is the cross that disposes us and makes us mature together with the fruit of the cross, to receive the fruit of the cross. He says, in fact, who has disposed you to live in it? Has it perhaps not been the cross of so many years that matured you like a beautiful fruit? Took away from you all the bitter taste which the earth contains, all the attachments of creatures, and converted them for you into divine sweetness, placing itself as guard, so that nothing may enter into you which will not be holy, which will not give of heaven. So it is the cross that disposes our souls, the Lord says, that prepares our souls, that makes us mature, that detaches us from creatures, places, things, and that places us in a safe place, so that the gift of God can grow in us, the gift of the divine will. We see this in the life of Luisa Picarreta, that she suffered. Our Lord prepared her, and she also receives the marriage of the cross. We see that she received the stigmata. She asked our Lord make it invisible, because she wanted to disappear. She wanted to remain hidden in our Lord. So it is the cross, my brothers and sisters, that will help us grow in advance in holiness, in a particular way, in the possession of the divine will operating in us, because this is what belongs to us, what God intended from the beginning for us to possess, His divine will operating in us, God operating in the creature, God giving Himself to the creature, and the creature giving Himself back to God through every single act. Because of the fall, He had to come and redeem us. He has accomplished that. He has the cross. He has left the cross as our custodian. The Lord says, the cross making all the viral humors flow within you has done nothing other than form your Jesus in you. This is very important. Form your Jesus in you. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 381, the Church says the following, quoting St. Paul to the Ephesians and also Romans. It says, man is predestined to reproduce the image of God's Son made man, the image of the invisible God. So we are predestined to reproduce the image of the invisible, the image of the Son of God, the image of the invisible God, which is Jesus, so that Christ shall be the firstborn of a multitude of brothers and sisters. He is the first one of a multitude of brothers and sisters. We are called to be that multitude. We are called to be the image, one of many. He's the first one. How are we going to become one of those many? By virtue of possessing the divine will operating in us, by participation. And the cross, our Lord Jesus says, will accomplish that in us. The cross, making all the viral humors flow within you, has done nothing other than form your Jesus in you, and your Jesus finding you mature, form the kingdom of his divine will in the depths of your soul. Form the kingdom of his divine will in the depths of your soul. When we are baptized, we receive three gifts. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity by receiving the gift of faith, hope, and charity. God himself giving himself to the creature. That kingdom begins there. He begins to form the kingdom of his will in the depths of the soul of the creature. Every single person who is baptized receives this. And now, through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, we come to know how we have to enter willingly and knowingly in union with the will of God. The Lord continues and he says, and taking the attitude of teachers with all love, I spoke to you about it, meaning about the divine will, and I'm still do. I have taught you its ways, the life you must conduct in it, the prodigies, the power, and the beauty of my kingdom. The Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta, I have taught you everything about the divine will, everything about this kingdom, everything about the gift, everything about the point of origin, the power, what the divine will does in the soul of the creature, why he wants this gift to operate in each one of us. Because it is through this gift that we become capable of giving God to God, or loving God with his own love, or praising him with his own beauty, with his own majesty, with everything that he is. You must know that every time your Jesus decides to manifest a truth, my love for it is so great that I bilocate my very life in each truth I manifest, so that each truth might have the power to form a divine life in the creature. So every time we read about the writings of Luisa Picaretta, every time we come to know these writings, that we learn more and more, we receive light, understanding. And the Lord says, I'm able to bilocate my very life in you. Every new truth that we come to know and we embrace, the Lord is able to bilocate in that, as He is able to bilocate and to be in every single act, as long as we want, as long as we allow Him to enter into us, as one, as long as we have that disposition. And what He's telling us here is that this, the cross, is a great way to dispose ourselves. Look at the cross, embrace our crosses. Do not reject our crosses, and unite our crosses with the act of Jesus. Embracing that cross, then it becomes meaningful and fruitful. It becomes a prayer itself, a prayer that will adore God, a prayer that will repair for those who do not embrace their crosses, for those who reject their crosses, for those who turn against God because of their crosses. The Lord continues and He says, so that each truth might have the power to form a divine life in the creature, meaning that He is present in every truth that we receive. We see light, we receive understanding. He is there infusing basically knowledge and helping us to understand. See then what it means to manifest to you one truth less or one truth more. It is to put out a divine life at risk, to put it in danger, because if it is not known, loved, and appreciated, it is a divine life which does not receive its fruit, and which does not receive the honor that befit it. This is why I love so much the truths I manifest, because it is my life that runs within them. And I greatly love that they become more known. How different is my operating from that of creatures? If they speak, teach, operate, they do not live their life in the world and in the work. Therefore, they do not give too much of their words and works, do not obtain their fruit. What is He saying that He's comparing? Basically, He's saying that it is so different. Every time that He manifests is His very life in there. He says it's a divine life that is in that truth, or those truths that are manifested. He says, and that's why I want this truth to be known, because then it is a new life that is coming, a new divine life basically that is created, that is put out there. And He compares with that of the creature. If the creature operates, it is not a divine life. The creature does not live itself in that. He says, on the other hand, I grieve very, very much, because it is life that I make run in what I manifest is his very life that he makes run in every truth that is manifested in every act that is done in the divine will. And that's why he wants these writings to be known. And as we saw in this passage that has different, we could say different themes, but they all come together. Luisa Picarreta is teaching us here, or showing us how to beg for the kingdom of divine will to descend upon us with the very acts of our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus explaining to us why he had to come and redeem us, because he wants us to go back to the point of origin, and how the cross is our custodian, how the cross comes to mature the kingdom of redemption, is the climax of the kingdom of redemption, we could say. And the cross will help us also, will dispose our souls, will prepare our souls to receive this gift, so that we may embrace that cross, our crosses, our suffering, with the act of our Lord Jesus, and that will help our spiritual growth. So in that way, to learn how to embrace difficulties and crosses that we encounter, knowing that our Lord Jesus did it already, and then it will become more meaningful for us. We will experience then the sweetness of the cross. And this is what our Lord Jesus wants us to do, my brothers and sisters, so that we may arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us. Then we could say we are walking towards the state of origin. That's where the Lord wants us, beginning here. And that's why through the writings of Luisa Picarreta, he's teaching us about this great gift that he's given in our times. With that, my brothers and sisters, we will finish today this passage, asking our Lord Jesus to grant us the grace to possess his divine will operating in us, to give us the strength and the courage to embrace our own crosses with tenderness, with love, and to unite our crosses to him, that our suffering may also become a redemptive suffering, that our suffering may acquire also the same suffering as the sufferings of our Lord Jesus. May the Lord grant us the grace to receive this gift through the maternal hands of the Blessed Mother, as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.